Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tropcast. This is Chase.
I'm Kiana again. Hi.
And it's Thomas here, too.
Yay, Thomas.
Yay.
He's on the other side of this slightly smudgy glass.
Again.
In his own little box.
You're by yourself again. How do you feel?
So much more room for activities.
Like what?
Let's not go there. this is not that sort of show.
Uh-oh.
Okay, straight to things that are relevant. last week at the SGA meeting, according to us, the TROP, the SGA passed a parking resolution that rezoned the parking area around Fraternity Row. A little bit of controversy about that.
Just a little bit.
Because Newman Center residents were parking there. To my mind, it seems perfectly reasonable to want there to be parking for all the guys living in the frat houses and and some extra for the people who are visiting. But I think the issue that the story kind of hits on is that there's not enough at Newman Center for all of the residents of Newman Center.
Correct.
Isn't there like almost, they say like 396?
That's almost exactly 369.
Oh, close enough.
Right? Hey, you get the numbers mixed up.
Read it earlier, so I was looking at it. And then there's only, 90-something parking spots?
97 designated parking
spots.
That's
where I got confused.
For 369 residents of Newman Center.
Yeah. This is the problem that I have with the parking situation. I don't care if, I don't care if commuters have to walk. I mean, no offense to you guys, but I live on campus and I'm paying for the ability to park on campus. When I don't have a spot, that is what gets me. Herb Reeves talked about how it was an issue of convenience, quote unquote. I live on campus. I should be afforded that convenience because I live on campus.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for people to want parking near where they live.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah.
The parking issue is
because there's
complicated.
There's no part of the day when I can't drive around the Saga lot looking for a parking spot and basically be trolling the whole time just to find one.
Trolling.
It's a fishing term. But yeah, And she laughs.
Sometimes Kiana learns new words and just finds it hysterical.
I know exactly what trolling means, but I have the internet version of trolling in my head, so I can just imagining you in a troll face driving around the parking lot trying to find a spot.
Trying to make people angry enough that they leave.
Hey, half the time it is a rage face, so.
Right, exactly.
And the thing is that there are commuters that park in that lot, and on the one hand, I don't have a problem with that, but on the other hand, they're taking up, even at 11 o'clock at night, they're taking up spots that I need, and I live on campus.
Well, I mean, it's free parking after 5, so there's not really
this is
much
true.
We can do about that.
This is true. And then if I go park over here by Wallace, the next I will get a ticket the next morning. That's just guaranteed.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The parking thing is interesting. Yeah, that's been a consistent problem. Forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure when people rode horses to campus, if that ever happened.
Someone's going to do it the end of this year.
I don't know if there was ever an American college where people rode horses to campus.
They had to have at some point.
I mean, this school is older than cars.
Yeah,
so
there had to have been.
Somebody rode a cart to campus.
They had to have ridden in a carriage at the very least.
Okay, maybe a carriage.
I imagine they had 2 carriage spots and 3 people with carriages. It's just in screaming matches.
No, they just put their carriages on the quad and just had their horses just poop everywhere. And that's how they got more parking.
Oh, okay.
And the university was cool with it because they're free fertilizer, guys.
Oh, that's gross. Stop. Well,
they paint the grass green. So
anyway.
Moving right along.
Speaking of SGA things.
Oh, God. Please stop.
Let's not go there entirely. We'll get there.
Well, I mean,
this podcast this week is sandwiched in between Rivalry Week. Rivalry Week?
Rivalry Week.
All right, Scoopy.
This podcast this week is sandwiched between Rivalry Week and Homecoming Week. We lost, didn't we, Thomas?
Yep, by a touchdown.
We lost by a touchdown.
Tears.
I really, really like the belt, though. I find that concept hilarious.
I actually like it, too. I didn't think I would at first, but now it's actually starting to grow on me. So I really, it's a neat concept because no other rivalry in college football has something like this.
And plus, we're in the Sun Belt Conference, so it only makes sense.
I just want to know, does somebody get to wear the belt? Like, I want us to win next year so I can see, like, Chancellor Hawkins walking around with the belt on, just everywhere he goes.
The lame and realistic answer to that is that it probably will go into a trophy case for a year.
Obviously.
But that doesn't mean that they can't, like, have a football player put it on at the end of the game. Like, the MVP should be able to wear it and pose for a photo at the end of the game.
No, I want to see Jack Hawkins Jr. wearing that belt.
We need our chancellors at the school. Whoever we have this game at needs to, like, the chancellor of that respective school needs to wear the belt.
Maybe we could institute, like, new rules for the rivalry game. Like, if we go into overtime, rather than continuing to play, the chancellors have to fight for it.
Ooh, I like
wrestling
that.
Ring, middle of the field.
Yep. Yes. That's how that's going to work now.
I am very excited about that idea. And Vince McMahon will probably claim copyright on that pretty soon here. So enjoy it while you can, Trojans.
Right.
And then John Cena gets the belt.
Yay.
No, wait, I can't do that because that's copyrighted. Just kidding. Yeah.
Well, and plus, you don't like that meme anyways. So.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Okay.
It's true.
Homecoming's next week. That's exciting.
Yeah, make sure if you want to go to that Wale concert, I don't know if they're still selling tickets, but I think they're like $20, so that's not too bad.
No, not really.
Moving right along.
Speaking of Troy, traditions. Hey, we did a good one together.
Stop.
Hey.
I hate when he and I think alike. It usually means I'm losing IQ points.
Yep, it usually does.
Leave that in.
Stop it.
That's how he tells us that he's going to cut that.
Aww.
Anyway, the Foy Fountain, which was a fountain on the what's now the Social Quad, it went away with the original design of that quad. But the plaque that accompanied that fountain was a picture of four children, and people would rub the noses of the children for good luck. And the plaque exists, and it is going to be put on a fountain outside of the dining hall. That's cool.
That is cool.
You're going to do a little ceremony for it, I think, or maybe they already have.
That'll be neat. I like that.
Yeah. I remember the years I came here for band day before I actually came here for Troy for school. I remember seeing the old fountain before they knocked it down and built what they have now. And I always wondered what happened to it. And the fact that they're just reinstituting it somewhere else is really cool to me.
Yeah, I'm from here. And my parents went to college here, and my dad's parents went to college here, and I did not know about this little tradition. That was a cool thing to learn. Of course, when I got to Troy, there was college. There was no quad in the back anymore. It was a large fence.
I do remember that, yeah.
And you had to walk from, if you were in TC, in order to get to the library, you had to walk all the way around.
Lame.
And we all complained about that for semesters, multiple semesters. Mm-hmm.
I can imagine.
Years. So last week in the drop, Elise Nelson had a story called The Ladies of Tutwiler. It is about two Troy English professors who have been going to Tutwiler. It's about two English professors who have been going to Tutwiler. What is it called?
Prison, ladies' prison.
Tutwiler women's.
Julia Tutwiler prison for women. Women.
Yeah. So it's about two English professors who've been going to the Julia Tutwiler prison for women in Wetumpka. And they've been leading these reading groups, basically classes.
So they've been, you know, doing these classes or whatever, and apparently the women at this prison are, like, super involved, and they really enjoy these classes, and I think in the story it said that nobody's ever missed one. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I think it's a really cool thing to do as well, because, you know, they really don't have anything else to do, you know, so I think that bringing literature into prisons and stuff like that. It's a really...
I really think it's cool that the that our professors are stepping out and doing this and that they're getting grant money to do this.
Yeah.
And this is a fantastic thing so that these ladies can turn their lives around.
Yeah. And then it says, you know, in the story it says that Kaler said that we never use the words prison or inmate or prisoner. They are ladies of Tutwiler. So, you know, they're respected in this space,
right,
too, which I think is really important, is that there's a space where they feel like they matter and their opinions matter as well.
Right. And I think correctional facilities should live up to their name. They should be places for people to turn their lives around and not necessarily straight prisons.
Mm-hmm.
The professor said one time they got lost and were late getting to one of their sessions. And when they came in, the prisoners had started, the ladies of Tutwiler had started the session on their own. One of them was up at the front reading her report. I think we're good.
But that weird
just
story.
About,
the weird story.
Yeah.
Tiana's story. About a man named Augustus Sol Invictus.
Well, what a great name, but that's not his real name anyways. He got his name changed. But this is how the headline reads. And, you know, the myth of Florida man continues with this headline. Florida candidate for U.S. Senate admits to sacrificing goat and drinking its blood.
Yeah.
So that happened, and it happened in Florida.
And for
the event of drinking blood happened in the Mojave Desert, but then...
For the record, he is a legit pagan.
Right, yeah, he's very pagan, and it's kind of hilarious how weird this is. Because, yeah.
Now, you know, we here at the Trop, we're not here to tell you what to believe.
Yeah.
But use discretion. And maybe next time you're in the Mojave Desert sacrificing a goat to the god of the wilderness and drinking its blood, write that down in your journal and don't share it with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let anybody know that, especially if you're running for a public office with controversial religious views anyways. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem. I'm not saying it should be a problem.
No.
Just don't do that.
Well, there are laws against
animal
sacrifice.
So that might also, I mean, if
regarding mutilation of corpses and animal cruelty.
Right, yeah. So it
there's no problem with me having a representative that's pagan, but if this guy is
breaking
making trips to the Mojave Desert.
To break the law.
Yeah. So. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah, if you're a potential senator, is breaking the law.
You can just gerrymander around my house.
And I believe he's a libertarian.
He claims to be, but all libertarians have denounced him as not libertarian.
I'm going to cut that anyway.
Don't.
You know what, Thomas?
You don't have that here.
Yourself.
Oh.
That's not something to joke about, Chase.
Oh. I'm going to cry now.
Can you hear the sad music playing in Thomas's booth?
Yeah, I can. I can actually hear it right now. We want to go get ice cream. Let's finish this ish.
Okay.
All right. This has been the Tropcast. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Later.
The Tropcast was produced in front of a non-existent studio audience in Studio C in Wallace Hall at Troy University. The Tropcast is a product of the Tripolitan Media Group.